This is Zarlax, Cosmic Invader. Eureka. I have hijacked the Carolyn Mantel show once again. We now bring you the Team Cool Desac panel at Baltimore Comic Con, recorded Sunday, September 9th, 2013. Here's Agnes, my Earth slave, to tell you more about it.
When Richard Thompson, the creator of the comic strip Cul-de-sac, was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, his friend Chris Sparks began a fundraising effort to honor him. With Richard's support, he asked others to donate artwork featuring the Cul-de-sac characters for Team Cul-de-sac book, with proceeds going to the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research. The resulting book was nominated for 4 Harvey Awards. How did it do? Listen to the panel and Chris Sparks will let you know. The fundraising continues as Joe Sutcliffe talks about the drink and draw event and Carolyn Bilitsky talks about the upcoming Moving Day Parkinson's Walk. And now on with the show.
So, I am Chris Sparks. I came up with the idea for the Team Cul-de-sac book 3 years ago, right before this con. This was the first show that I actually asked people to donate artwork. And from that point, we had over 150 people donate artwork, which was turned into this beautiful book, which was the original artwork was auctioned off through Heritage Auction House. And from that point, between the money that we had made at the Drink and Draw in Charlotte last year at Heroes Con, and the money we had raised from the artwork, plus the matching donations, we raised over $102,000 for the Michael J. Fox Foundation last year. And total so far, we have raised over $112,000 so far in the last 3 years, which I'm very proud about. We are also, we were nominated for an Eisner Award this year. One Eisner Award, and Team Cul-de-sac actually won the Bob Clampett Humanitarian Award at Comic-Con, which is very awesome. And then we were nominated for 4 Harvey Awards last night, and they are on display here tonight. Just kidding. We did not win, but it was a very nice honor because it meant a lot to me, because Harvey Kurtzman actually had Parkinson's, and I know this project was meant a lot to his family. I've talked to his family, and I just thought it was a wonderful we were nominated. So he was a big influence, and anybody who's been in cartooning, you were probably influenced by Harvey Kurtzman, so I'm very proud of that. So then today on the panel, we have Dawn Griffin, who she actually is a contributor, and she's just here for moral support in case we fall asleep. And Carolyn,
I thought it was immoral support.
Immoral support. And then Carolyn is actually organizing this year's Moving Day Walk for Parkinson's. And she's going to tell us all about that, because I actually am not sure where it's happening in D.C. this year. And Joe has been kind enough to start helping with the Drink and Draw here at Baltimore Con that we're going to continue every year. Joe didn't know that till right now. And so we'll be doing that. And then we'll also continue to have the Drink and Draw in Charlotte every year. And so I thought we would probably let Joe speak about his experience with the Drink and Draw and his connection to Richard Thompson, and just tell us a little bit about that.
Well, me first?
Sure.
Oh, okay. I thought I had time to doze off for a while. I've known Richard for over 30 years. It's an interesting experience to be an illustrator and a cartoonist in Washington, D.C. with Richard Thompson in the same market. And you find yourself going, well, I can do this. I can be a professional illustrator and cartoonist. And then you see some of Richard's stuff and you go, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing. He's the really annoying part about it is that because even though he's without real debate the one of the greatest living cartoonists that ever has been, he's so nice. He is without exaggeration one of the nicest people on the planet, and he always projects kindness, support, and empathy. So, you know, even though I found myself going, well, I'm doing work and Richard's doing work and I have to see if I can get this client, but, and then I see Richard coming out of the room with his portfolio first, I go, well, never mind. Still, you know, you can't help but love him and want to be his friend and just hang out with him. He's that sweet a human being. I know everybody's familiar with Team, with Cul-de-Sac, the comic strip, and the style that he uses for that. And certainly a wonderful part of this is his character's design and his watercolor style, which has a loose, wonderful, lucid quality. But in the early days of his career, he was an illustrator and caricaturist, and he worked, his illustrations were done with oils and ink. And we would study his pieces whenever we got a chance to see an original, just like I would look at them and I'd go, how did he use a crow quill pen and get lines like that and then paint oil paint over the lines and not cover up the lines because it's an opaque media. And he just developed techniques with turpentine and thinner. And he would say, in those days, the work was not done digitally at all. We're all old people. They was all done with, you would do a color piece, and it would have to go to a separator. Not a scanner, a separator. This is someone who took and shot the work photographically and separated, broke it down into color. So it was almost 3 or 4 days at the separator before it could go to press. And so your deadlines were usually a few days, you know, nowadays your deadlines are hours before it goes to press. In those days it was 3 or 4 days, 4 or 5 days. And he would be sitting there with a hair dryer trying to get the oil paint to dry fast enough that he could send it off, because then it would get squished between pieces of glass and it would tend to stick to the glass if it wasn't completely dry. He was doing work for the Washington Post, did some stuff for the Washington Times, which was a completely different newspaper at the time. But you would see his things in the New Yorker, and you would go, oh my God, what a beautiful character, and the way he would break down the faces, and the coloring and the texturing for some of the magazine covers that he was doing was just awesome to behold. And almost nobody outside of the Washington region or New York has seen the majority of this work. So am I allowed to say that hopefully that might change in the near future?
And hopefully that's going to change. Richard has one of his, probably his best friend, Nick Galifianakis, and Bill Watterson from Calvin and Hobbes fame, and myself. We are in the process of working on, we hope, the most wonderful art collection book you've ever seen about Richard's career. And there's no timeline on that, so we're not sure how long it'll take us. That depends a lot on Richard. So hopefully we'll see that in the next couple of years. So, and it's gonna be amazing. It's just amazing. We've been through hundreds of pieces of art the last couple of times we've been together, and it's just, his range of skills are so amazing. When you start seeing some of his portrait paintings, that is, you know, just everything he's done is just amazing. And I think it's going to really open the eyes to a lot of collectors and fans of art when this book comes out, because it's just...
What kind of scale are you thinking about? 100 pages, 200 pages?
We don't know yet. We know it's been narrowed down to the first cut that Nick and someone else who's helping us has done is around 250 pages or pieces of art. And it's going to be hard to. I think it's going to be hard to make it less than 300 pages. There's just certain sections that really needs attention, but we'll see. I mean, we might get to a point. It might have to be, you know, around that 250 page book. But it's going to be a really nice book.
So are you going back to suitcases or even farther back than that?
I'm sure we'll have suitcases. In it, because some of that, Suitcases was a book about his his mother being an orphanage, and he was like 21, I think, 2021 yeah. when that book came out. And the line detail in that is really nothing like, the realism is nothing like you've seen in any cartoony stuff. So we have to have some of those. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. And his uncle has actually sent me some scans of stuff that when he was like in high school that are just absolutely amazing. So I don't know if that will make the book or not, because we're trying to keep in certain career aspects of his professional career. But we might have a couple pages of just like a collage of these, that some early work that he'll be really embarrassed about. So
it's going to be very difficult to pick the pieces, because the again, that period that he went from oils, and then later he discovered alkalids, which is actually an oil paint mixed with an acid to help it dry faster. Is the use of opaque color and the layering that he accomplishes with it is just so gorgeous to look at.
It's like nothing I've ever seen in my life.
As beautiful as cul-de-sac is, and you're not going to believe these pieces when you see them. Yeah. And I'm supposed to talk about the drink and draw a little bit.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mark.
No. Sorry.
Andrews McMeel. So since Bill and Richard and Nick all have, and I guess me, we all have connections to Andrews McMeel. They're very excited about this book. So. And so now we're going to not talk about Richard at all. We're going to talk about the drink and draw here and why we want to continue this, because this is. We're all, I think, in the book, we're all fans, and a lot of us are friends of Richard's, and we were all pretty devastated that when we found out that Richard had Parkinson's. And this is not only a way to support Richard during this really rough time, but also something our hearts are really in, and we want to continue this just because it's fun. It's just a big group of friends who are now like family, and this is going to continue indefinitely. So Joe's going to talk about the drink and draw.
The drink and draw.
And then I can tell you a little bit about the Heroes one too. So.
Well, I mean, not to put too thin a line on it, but the best thing about the drink draw, it was a lot of fun, and there was alcohol involved. And we were all talking about ways that we could support things, and Carolyn was talking about the walkathon, and I'm not much of a walker. You can tell by how long it took me to get from the show floor up here. But, I do know something about doodling, and alcohol has been a hobby of mine for many, many years. So I said, well, I'll do something with that. And originally we thought, well, maybe I'll try and do something in the DC area on a separate event. And then the first publicity started coming out for this year's Baltimore show and SPX next week. And I said, well, I'll do something around one of the shows, and then there'll be a ton of cartoonists, and they'll all come and draw, and then we'll have lots of beer, and we'll do that. So it was a wonderful evening. And raise your hands. Did you guys hear about the drink and draw through any of the publicity?
Heard about it.
Well, it's one of those things. This is a learning experience, and I am still learning electronic media. We had
next year, of course, the convention's going to be open on Friday.
Open on Friday, so that might make a big difference.
Friday again,
that's true.
People could stay after the convention, yeah. Presumably.
And that's what happened with us. Let's see. The year Richard won the Rubin, so 2011 is when he won, because we have...
the tie last year.
And then Tom Richmond, and then Richard. So,
yeah.
So what happened was that the first time we did it, so Richard came to HeroesCon in 2008, and that's where I met Richard. I immediately thought, this guy is probably the greatest cartoonist I've ever seen, because everybody was comparing him to Bill Watterson. I was like, nobody compares anybody to Bill Watterson. And then I actually looked through the original strips, and I was laughing too. I spit on one of the strips and bought it from Richard, because I just couldn't quit laughing. And he didn't even have a book out yet, and he gave me one of the press kits that they give to the newspapers to try to get the strip in the paper. And I took it home to my wife. I was like, you got to look at this guy's stuff. He's going to be one of the greatest cartoonists who ever lived. This stuff is amazing. And she actually agreed. She was laughing so hard. And he really touched a lot of people's lives by just his kindness at that show in 2008. And 2009, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and then by 2010, and this is 2013, so 10. So 2011, we did the drink and draw. And it was, you know, because it was one of the people that works for Heroes Con, Shelton Drum and one of his employees wanted to do this. And Richard just pretty much sat out front eating pizza, and we had this pizza joint with beer, and it really turned out to be a pretty cool event. And we did, you know, like $1,000, $1,200. And the year after that, we did about the same, maybe $102 more. And then this year, because we had some books signed by Bill Watterson and Art Spiegelman and some other nicer sketches, we made $6,000 at Heroes Con, which was blew us away. So, you know, each year it's growing. I don't know every year we can do 6,000, but, you know, it's this continuous process. And so that's what we want to do here, where it's a continuous process of getting people involved.
And raising money is fun, but we just had a blast. We had a table set up. We had these custom coasters printed up, and everybody wanted to come and draw. And, you know, these are people who are selling their work down on the show floor for, you know, $10, $20, $50, $100 for prints. And then the hand-drawn stuff is, you know, starts at $100 and goes up from there. And these artists are still are doing these drawings and donating them to the cause, and they're laying out on a table, and you buy them for whatever donation that you want to contribute. So it's like a combination of a real bargain and just a great opportunity to sit there and chat in an informal, alcohol-laden environment with some great talent. And Barbara Dale here, who, you know, is one of the most famous cartoonists in the world. It's on the back of your shirt. Show everybody.
Yeah, it's on your license plate.
Did a bunch of drawings. I just sat there, you know, slapping people around saying, give me more money, and making a fool of myself. But people donated not only coasters, but they brought their own pads, their own drawings, and did...
some beautiful pieces. I mean, just like Batman, you know.
These were drawn at the Drink and Draw.
At Drink and Draw. And then at the Ribbon Awards this past year, I asked different... Oh, look at this. Unbelievable. Daredevil. This is crazy. And Jay and Silent Bob and Alice. But then at the Rubens, I asked people to do sketches, and some of these I've already sold, but, you know, Brian Bassett, who won the newspaper strip award this year for Red and Rover, there's a piece in there by him. Edison Lee, Mark Tatulli, who draws Leo, did this beautiful piece. I mean, this is really could be a strip. I mean, this is an unbelievable page. And so, you know, we have some really cool items. Jim Borgman, Pulitzer Prize winning cartoonist, Ruben winner, you know, he did this for us. I mean, it's, you know, from Zitz. So, I mean, it's just gorgeous artwork.
His drawing in the auction went for what, 790, I think?
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, a bunch. Yeah.
About that much. And then, and so here is one that.
$200. You know, it's Jim Borgman, you know, Pulitzer Prize winning cartoonist right here.
Now, for next year, since it's going to be open for 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, are you going to have anyone take around some coasters to some of the artists that might not be able to attend and maybe do drawings for you?
Well, we're considering that. Okay. And the balancing act mm-hmm. is that the Baltimore Comic Con generously promoted the mm-hmm. Drink and Draw. Yeah. Even though it was butting up against the VIP reception the same night. Mm-hmm. And we also don't want to crab the style of all the guys, you know, downstairs on the floor trying to promote their work and stuff like that. And also another aspect of it is the idea of having, you know, these artists here at the event too, because that's getting to shake hands and chat them up, you know, buy them a beer. Buy your favorite artist a beer. That's been my motto for a long time.
And something else we did at the Drink and Draw in Charlotte, it got to a point, some lady would come up to, like, Shannon Gallant, who's in the D.C. area, was like, because Shannon helped me work the table because it was really kind of crazy. And she's like, there's no, I think it was like Superman. Does anyone have, because the Superman movie was coming out like that week, and she's like, no one did a Superman sketch. She's like, I'll do you one for, you know, like $20. So he sat right there and did this crazy Superman sketch that he sold her. So Shannon was like our request person. Just do
but yes, we want to load some of them up. Yeah. Like we want to get a few in advance. And it's just a learning process the first year. And then, and I was in charge, so it's bound to be screwed up in some way. And it was a learning process. Each location is different. Like the pizza parlor across the street at Heroes Con was a great location. All the places around here, you notice even the guys are on the street corners are charging you to cross the streets in Baltimore on a baseball day. So it's that balancing act of trying to get a venue that's big enough, and we didn't know how many people were going to come. We've learned from this year. We'll do more next year.
And maybe get a sponsorship next year too, and just keep it going. And then
how many people made it this year?
We had about 60, 70 people there.
Really good. That's
when you have to walk up three flights of stairs and then have some large guy in a purple shirt trying to grab money from you. But, you know, there was a balcony, and we were spitting on people as they were walking by. It was a lot of fun.
So that's what we're going to continue this, not only at Baltimore Con, but also at Heroes Con in Charlotte every year. So if you're anywhere in that area, we'll be there. Yes, ma'am.
I wonder if it's possible to do it next door to the VIP reception, like get the room next to that.
The VIP reception doesn't actually have anything next to it. It's that entire floor.
Yeah.
Next year, are they going to have the VIP on Friday, or are they going to have it on Thursday? Well, I heard the next year the con here was something like 1 to 6. So there was still room for stuff at night, but then there might be additional programming.
Well, the convention center, we would have to get a separate alcohol license, and what's a drink and draw without alcohol? At least that's my philosophy. We may reevaluate that.
Right.
And the hotels, that's one of the reasons why we're not doing a drink and draw at SPX this year. It just became, there is no venue very close to the conference center. And the conference center itself had very strong minimum requirements, and it's hard to, I was about to say, screw people out of a lot of money. Ask for generous contributions when you have to pay $10 for a bottle of Budweiser. So I made the decision that we would pass this year on SPX and focus on Baltimore. And then next year, with the wealth of knowledge that I have gathered, approach the subject starting like next week. I'll go up to Warren Bernard and say, you know what's really missing from the show this year? The drink and draw. We got to do something
about
it.
And they loved Richard at SPX.
Oh my God, yes.
I mean, he's like an idol to everyone there. So what Joe and I did a couple years ago, they had the National Parkinson's, I have that little bracelet here from then.
Oh,
I should probably take it off. The National Parkinson's Foundation, which is not associated with the Michael J. Fox Foundation, had their main moving day walk here in D.C. from the baseball stadium, the crazy walk back. It was a couple miles. So Richard and his family signed up to do that. I showed up. It just happened to coincide with a business meeting I had in D.C. for Habitat for Humanity, so it worked out great. And then Joe was there, so we did this moving day walk, which was a lot of fun. And
except you had to walk.
Richard had the same issue. So what happened was that Carolyn, also inspired by all this fun stuff, and she's taken upon herself to arrange this year's our team for that. And so we'll let Carolyn talk more about that.
Yeah, the walk, I believe, is on November 10th. Check to make sure it's the Sunday. It's a Sunday, so I think it's November 10th. Early in the morning at Nationals Park, it is free to walk. So really, if you're in the D.C. area and are looking for just a fun thing to do that weekend, there's really no excuse not to be there. It's free. You get to hang out with all of us. The walk is 2-mile walk. So, I mean, come on
and
now.
It's all downhill. I don't know how they do that, so don't worry.
And you get a bike.
It's all downhill
from
here.
It's those spirals that go both ways on the stage.
So, to put that in perspective, if you remember your track in high school, that's about 8 laps on your track in high school. So
I never found my track. But it's really fun, because and it's very inspiring, the whole walk for me that year. and I'm sure for Joe too, it was very eye-opening, because you have people with a very wide range of issues with Parkinson's they're dealing with, and they're all there, and they're walking, and their caregivers and their friends are all there supporting them, and it's a blast. It was a lot of fun for us. So if you're in the D.C. area, you can join. Carolyn will get your name and email. She'll send you information. You can join just to walk for fun, or you can help us raise money too. By, you know, it's like your take your form around and get people to, you know.
You can like approach your coworkers or your friends, and they can give money towards your name, and then that will go towards the team cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
I found if you grab them with your left hand, you go like this. It works very well.
And so
we do have a team goal of $500,
which will be very easy. We did like $1,200 that first time.
So. Yeah, I think I got $500 for myself last year. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think.
Who are you asking for this?
Hold them like this. You go like this.
Like mafia style.
Yeah, and my family members, you know, just felt so sorry for me. They sent money, and so it was great.
Well, they probably figured Joe couldn't finish it, so they would know, right?
Yeah.
It's like, easy bet, give Joe money. Watch him suffer.
There were actually several emails that said, no, I don't have to pay if you don't get past the first block, right?
And the entertaining thing about you is as you walked, you were drinking
and drawing.
That should be a challenge if we ever merged events.
Well, on every street corner, and it's sort of dried after a while.
We have the drink and draw with the walk.
Yeah.
And so, well, I thought we'd go through real quick, and just if you don't know what these people do, or Ann Barbara, who's in the book, I thought we could go real quick and let them tell you a little bit about them. And if you have not met them, come to their table today. Carolyn was kind enough to bring some books because I did not carry them. She has some books that she's selling that everyone will be more than happy to sign. And then feel free to look through the artwork and the coasters. We'll take money right here from you. And then if you brought more money, Bill Larson has been a very big supporter of ours from the beginning. It was one of the honors of this whole project that he decided to donate artwork for us, which was his first public piece of art in 16 years anyone had seen. It's in the book. He was gracious enough to sign 5 Team Cul-de-Sac books for us, and he signed 5 complete Calvin Hobbs softcover, Calvin Hobbs softcovers that he has never done before for the general public. So if you were not a friend of his, you know, you could never get one. So this is the first time. And so he's never signed these for anyone, actually. So it's signed on the first page. And so I don't know if there's any artists outside maybe him and Steve Ditko, you know, that's living, that's hard to get their autograph. So we're selling the Team Cul-de-Sac book for $750. The complete Calvin Hobbs is $1,500. And I do have a credit card reader, and so it's no problem. And he has one too, so.
So you don't actually need money.
You don't need money. I'll take your card and we'll send it straight in.
And you can buy the unsigned cul-de-sac books.
Right now.
And you can buy a coaster for whatever you want to pay for.
Yeah. And some of these are priced, but they're really more finished pieces. And then these are, you know, $2, $3, $4, $5 each. They're really fun to look through. So go through. And
as you consider what you would like to donate, I will be standing next to you.
No, he won't for anyone. So there's no harm at all. So Don, it's true. You gotta be sweet. Work for me. So Don, tell us about what you're doing, who you are, and.
Okay. Well, actually, first of all, I wanted to bounce an idea off of you.
Sure.
That's been running through my head. I wanted to do something like you're doing.
Pitch it.
You know. So I'm pitching it right now.
Yeah. Awesome.
But it would kind of tie into the drink and draw, and it might be more of like a post.
Like strip and draw?
Okay, that might just be out my idea.
That's token drop.
To
no, no.
Cartoon is a good thing. But they want to see. But I had this idea of people that want to help but don't feel as though they can lend their talents by drawing, but people that come to a convention. So what we could do is hire Team Cul-de-Sac foot soldiers, and we'd give them a big poster, like a Bristol board that's broken up into panels, and they could take it around to their favorite artists in Artist Alley and have them do a quick sketch or something like that to donate. And then you get a whole nice collection, and you basically, you're helping out by collecting all of these. And then you would, you know, take it to the panel or take it to the drink and draw or whatever, and, you know, you could auction them off as well. And then
Yeah,
you get all those people who couldn't make the drink and draw. You know, I would gladly donate to, you know.
Sure. Yeah. There's and it's really fun. Even like with this size, at Charlotte over the last 3 years, there've been a couple people who keep buying different artwork for themselves. I mean, and they've spent hundreds of dollars, and it's really cool. They've now framed them together, and just absolutely gorgeous to see. And you know, they'll say drink and draw whatever year, and they've had them all framed, and it's just really neat to see them framed. So it would be great. All right. So
That was something that
thank you.
Crossed my mind.
We can do it.
But okay, well, I'm Dawn Griffin, and I am a aspiring cartoonist, kids book illustrator, general creative workhorse, and. My comic's called Zork, Burton, Fred, and it's an all-ages comic. I write it kind of like a Pixar movie, so it's appropriate for children. There's plenty of jokes in there for adults that adults would get, but will go over kids' heads. And I'm also the illustrator for Abby's Adventure series, which is a kid's book for me, geared towards girls, focusing on promoting self-esteem, self-confidence in young girls. And I'm also a part of Webcomic Alliance, so if anybody's interested in just starting their own webcomic or drawing comics at all, I can be give plenty of free advice. We have a podcast and a website that gives all sorts of free tutorials and such. So that's basically it. And I'm very happy to be a part of Team Call Center.
And you're at table?
I'm at table 117. It's right by the Kids Pavilion area.
Okay, Carolyn, your turn.
All right, well, I'm Carolyn Bilevsky. I write and illustrate the comic strip Curls, which kind of had an overarch in the Team Cul-de-Sac book. I also illustrate the comic books Legettes, Black Magic Tales, and Kid Roxy. And then I work with the writer Joe Carabeo on those books. And I'm editor of the Magic Bullet Comics newspaper, which if you're in the Washington, D.C. area, you should totally grab a copy. They're basically at every comic store, at every bar that we can think of, at every record store that we can think of in the DC area. So we have a wide distribution, and I bring them to all the comic conventions too. But it's basically a large format, tablet size newspaper that's free to the general public.
You have a stack of them downstairs.
Yeah, I have a stack of them downstairs. You can come by table A99 to grab your free copy. And those come out about twice a year. I do a whole bunch of other stuff. During the day, I work as a designer, and that's pretty amazing right now. And also, I have a podcast every Tuesday called The Carolyn and Joe Show.
And thank you.
And I'm also proud to be a part of Team Cul-de-Sac. You know, like, it's just like a great network of people that really love cartooning in general and Richard's work. So.
We have a secret handshake. It's cool.
For $300, we'll teach it to you.
See, you are good at that.
All right. You're like, I want to know the handshake.
I'm Joe Sutliff. I'm as I said earlier, I've been an illustrator, commercial artist, and cartoonist and illustrator in the D.C. region for over 30 years. And this is typical of the sort of stuff that I would do for magazines and stuff like that. That's the style, but I would draw subjects based on stories and people. The difference between an illustrator and just a cartoonist, not just a cartoonist. Because now I'm a cartoonist. A strip cartoonist will create their work and their topic and has total control over it, whereas an illustrator works with an art director to come up with an image for the story. And I recently started doing my own cartoons. I've had stuff published in Time and other national papers and periodicals doing editorial work. And that started me drawing my own stuff. And I always wanted to be a comic book artist and a comic strip artist. So I was a finalist in the Washington Post, Next Greatest American Cartoonist. What happened, Joe? I didn't win. And now I am launching a webcomic called MasterJeffrey.com. Come see me at A239, and I will tell you all about it, even more than you want to know. Okay?
So does anyone have any questions?
Yes. Is there any, we have AwesomeCon now in DC. Are there any ties to that that you're working on or think might be able to come up?
No, but I think, Carolyn, you've been to AwesomeCon.
Yes.
Correct?
Yeah, you were at a booth.
So,
yeah. Walking Dead panel.
Yes.
So I have mentioned to Mike Brody we need to talk to. I'm 8 hours away, so it's a little difficult.
So an AwesomeCon awesome. Team cul-de-sac event?
Yeah.
So like, there are a lot of bars around the DC Convention Center, too.
Yes.
And people like to
I noticed that. Yeah, there's definitely a possibility, yes. And I'll have a table at AwesomeCon, too.
Yeah. Okay. It's this April. It's Easter weekend of 2014.
Well, it's right on the convention center is on Massachusetts and 8th, isn't it? So that actually we could hang out on the corner with beers, and we'd fit right in. It would be great. But yeah, that's an idea. We should try and look into a similar event at AwesomeCon. One in the fall, one in the spring.
Yeah. Do you guys have if you wanted to sell something on eBay to link to your charity? The funds can be percentage-wise given to you. Well, is that available on eBay?
Yeah, and I'm going to set that up because I have a couple more Bill's books at my house that I need to do that with this other art that does not sell. So what we're going to do, we're actually probably either through eBay or through the Team Cul-de-sac blogspot.com, we're going to just start having artwork put up on a separate page where you can just buy it and pay through it PayPal and I'll ship it off so we can get rid of eBay.
But as an individual, can you, let's say you have the charitable organizations where you can donate so much percentage to a charity. Is Team Cul-de-sac listed on those charities, or is there a way?
It would be through, the problem is, no. So yes, we want you to just send money to the Michael J. Fox Foundation. That's great. But the other thing is that, you know, we have our own team. They're all, different teams. Team Pancakes for, whatever in Baltimore or whatever. It might be called, but we actually have our own special page on the Michael J. Fox Foundation. So it's not that we get, free dinners or anything, but, it just keeps every year we can see how much Team Cul-de-sac has made. So it's fun to just go through that. So if you write a check or do a donation, just say, for Team Cul-de-sac on the check, and then that way we get credit, so we can just kind of track how much money we've raised.
So, are any of you going to be at SPX next weekend?
Yes, I will.
She is.
I'll be in the parking lot.
I'll be home.
I was there last year, but I'm going to skip it this year. My rule is no two conventions in a row, and I'm from Philly, so it's a lot of back and forth.
Like an elusive phantom slipping through the industry. So you have to catch her when you can.
Yes. My next big show is New York.
And so if you do want a book, there's not only just the 2, 3, 4, 5 of us here in the room, but there's another probably 10 people downstairs who's in the book, so you can get a lot of autographs. That's my goal. There's 154 cartoonists. So I'm trying to get everyone to sign the book, and I'm up to about 95 people.
Okay. Yeah, I've got two more people downstairs that I haven't
got. So it's a really fun game.
That's crazy. You're only two-thirds, and you organize this whole thing, so
it's
how are you going to get around to all these people?
Yeah, I know, because some of them's in different countries. Yeah, it just happened that I just forgot her name. She's in the book, and she's from England, and she just happened to be at the Rubens this year. Arctic Circle. I can't think of her name. She was.
She the one with the banner?
Is she?
She had a big banner that was the cloth, and we all signed it for overseas.
Did she? Yeah.
NCS. Mm-hmm. Is that who you're talking
about?
Yeah.
And okay. So it's oh wow, she's here. So at least that's one more I thought I would never get. So.
And as an aside, everybody in the industry, I'm not saying absolutely everybody, but 99.8% everybody knows Richard, loves him, is aware of his situation, and wanted to help. And I had my Team Cul-de-sac book with me last year. And, Bernie Wrightson was here. Bernie Wrightson, whom I've adored since I was 6. I wanted his autograph. I couldn't afford an original. I bought a print, and he signed that. And I said, could you sign my Team Cul-de-Sac book? He said, oh, are they going to do that again? I'd love to put something in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh. Yeah, yeah. And so it's funny because I did not on purpose, but Richard's fan base is it's so large. He has a lot of illustrator, like magazine fans, and then he has, you know, the like SPX group of people who love him, and then the comic strip people. So it kind of snowballed. We had so many submissions. I really didn't even hit up the comic book people. And so now they're like, well, if you do something else, let me know.
But so in the meantime, they love. I mean, if they're charging for autographs, I don't know if Neil Adams will sign it for free.
No.
He won't. But everybody else was going, oh, sure. And so I'm getting autographs from other cartoonists in the flyleafs of my book. So it's like accumulating into quite a little treasure trove. And they all, you know, if, even if they're not, I'll sign anything. If they see it's a cul-de-sac book, sometimes they go, oh, yeah, I'd like to sign it. But I'm not in it. Oh, I'd like it anyway. It helps.
So any other questions, or would you like to look through some artwork? Because there's some really beautiful. Yes, sir?
What are your table numbers again, just for later?
I'm 117.
A99.
239, and Barbara's 240.
And if you're at any of those tables and you go, who else is in the book? I think everyone kind of knows who's here. John Case.
Running around doing the same thing.
Yeah. John Case Snyder III is here. Roger Langridge, who's from England, is here. Dave McDonnell, he's here.
2405.
Chris Weiser is here.
8125.
So he's got damn, he's ready. So yes. Yes, sir.
This is my first year attending Baltimore Comic Con. Is Baltimore Comic Con like really fun, and is it like easier to interact with fans compared to other like really big mega Comic Cons? Like I heard Chicago is a big one, New York's like a big one, and San Diego. Is there like a difference between our Comic Con here in Baltimore and other Comic Cons?
Yes. Like Baltimore is a lot easier to talk to people. New York is very, like, much like the streets of New York, people rushing around, people getting pulled somewhere out of nowhere in a sea of people, as if it was waves going by. And you always feel like you have a limited time with people there. And
people Heroes take Con the time. It's the same way. Heroes Con is very much just like this. It's very laid back, very creative, creator oriented. It's very nice. San Diego, if you're into comics, I mean, it's a crazy madhouse of 150,000 people, but if you're into comics, if you're into the comics section of the artists, it's, you know, it's usually not a big deal. It's just getting from point A to point B, which is really, really painful. But yeah,
what I like about Baltimore is I like the tagline that goes along with it, the antidote to San Diego, because it's all about comics. There's no entertainment. There's none of these TV stars or anything. So it's really focused. Yeah, it's very. It's not a pop culture con. It's a comic con, like as it's supposed to be. So that's what's exciting to come back here, and that's why I love the crowds. It's a very, very, even though it could be very packed, as we've seen, it's a very chill crowd.
It's a manageable size.
Yeah, it's manageable. People wander and just browse, and
that makes me happy as a Baltimore resident, because I'm a Baltimore resident. I live right here in Baltimore, and I think it's great that our Comic-Con is like focused on comics.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's definitely a dying breed. So I'm happy to see that it's doing so well. It's only 3 days.
Yeah. Next trip, and I just saw an article on a site called comicsbeat.com yesterday that it's going to use the entire convention center next year.
I think we should.
So we have like 15 minutes left, so feel free to come up. If you'd like to buy a book, if you'd like to look at artwork, go through all the posters.
If you have a request.
So thanks for coming. I really appreciate it. If you want to buy a Watterson book, please do. That would make our day.
Thanks for listening to the Carolyn and Until Show. We hope to participate in the moving day walk in Washington, D.C. on Sunday, November 10th, 2013, to benefit the Parkinson Foundation.